simply have to hold on to the effulgent pillar of the lotus feet of and the divine instructions of Lord Sri Krishna himself. Vanchikapaturubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're in the forest of material enjoyment still. There's two forests, by the way. There's the forest of material enjoyment and the forest of spiritual enjoyment. The forest of spiritual enjoyment we can see on our altar every single day. That's the forest where Krishna lives, in Goloka Vrindavan. But unfortunately, we are in the forest of material enjoyment. We're in Canto 5. We're in text 14. Chapter 14. We're reading text 41. The translations and purports are by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So it's in prose. We'll do the word for word. Karma Valim, the creeper of fruit of activities. Avalambya, taking shelter of. Tata, from that. Apadaha, dangerous or miserable condition. Kathanchit, somehow or other. Narakat, from the hellish condition of life. Vimuktaha, being freed. Puna api, again. Evam, in this way. Samsara advani, on the path of material existence. Vartamanaha, existing. Nara lokasa artam, the field of self-interested material activities. Upayanti, he enters. Evam, thus. Uparari, forgive me, upari, above in the higher planetary systems. Gata api, although promoted. Translation. When the conditioned soul accepts the creeper, when the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activities, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions. But unfortunately, he cannot remain there. After reaping the results of his pious activities, he has to return to the lower planetary systems. In this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. Purport. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lada Bij. Even if one wanders for many millions of years from the time of creation until the time of annihilation. One cannot get free from the path of material existence unless one receives shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. As a monkey takes shelter of the branch of a banyan tree and thinks he is enjoying, the conditioned soul, not knowing the real interest of his life, takes shelter of the path of karma kanda, fruit of activities. Sometimes he is elevated to the heavenly planets by such activities, and sometimes he again descends to earth. This is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Brahmanda Brahmate. However, if by Krishna's grace one is fortunate enough to come under the shelter of the Guru, by the mercy of Krishna, he receives lessons on how to execute devotional service to the Supreme Lord. In this way, he receives a clue to how to get out of this continuous struggle up and down within the material world. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that one should approach a spiritual master. The Vedas declare, Tad vigyanartham sagarum eva bigacchet. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tad vidhi pranipati na pari prasthena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam ganinas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21 gives similar advice. Tasma gurum papajyate jijnashu shreya uttamam shabde pare cha nishnatam brahman yupasham ashrayam. Any person who seriously desires to achieve real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of his spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Similarly, Vishwanatha Chakravarti, a great Vaishnava, also advises Yasya Prashada Bhagavat Prashada. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. This is the same advice given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Guru Krishna Prashade Paya Bhakti Lada Beach. This is essential. One must come to Krishna consciousness, and therefore one must take shelter of a pure devotee. Thus, one can become free from the clutches of matter. Translation. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruit of activities, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions. But unfortunately, he cannot remain there. After reaping the results of his pious activity, he has to return to the lower planetary systems. In this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. So I was a little confused when I got this verse. I read the translation, and I was thinking, okay, we're going to get a purport about something about the dangers of following the Karma Kandya yoga process, or we're going to get a purport about the dangers of dedicating one's heart and soul to sub-religious principles, devoid of bhakti, something like that. And then I was very, very surprised when we got a purport about the need to surrender to and approach to a bona fide spiritual master. And it took me a little while to put the two together. Why is the, what's the connection, you know? I mean, you know, I couldn't see the connection. And then I remembered these verses from the Issue Upanishad that Prabhupada has given us, and there the connection is given. Andam tama pravishyanti. Andam means ignorance, and tama means darkness. Pravishyanti means he enters into confusion and darkness. Andam tama pravishyanti. Ye vidyayam upasate. Tatobu ya ivate tamo ya uvidyayam rataha. So, those who engage in the culture of Nessian activities, those who live the party life, they have a certain result waiting for them after they have spent their lifetime in enjoying this world. So those who engage in the culture of Nessian activities, they enter into dark regions in the material universe. But then the Sri Isha Upanishad, gives us even additional information. Just the party people? Are they the only people who enter into hellish planets, lower planetary systems? No. The Sri Isha Upanishad tells us that still more so, even worse than the party people, are the people who engage in so-called knowledge that is not approved by the ultimate destination of the Vedic scripture, and not approved of the by the pure devotee who is absorbed in the Vedic scripture. The professors, atheistic professors, atheistic scientists, those who are encouraging others not to believe in the divine, not to believe in the law of karma, not to believe in all these things that are propounded by the Vedas, and to accept some other philosophies. People who are propounding like that, they're worse than just the casual sense gratifiers. So those who engage in the culture of Nessian activities, they enter into darkest regions of ignorance. Still more so do those who worship, who engage in the culture of soul, or worse, still more so do those who engage in the culture of so-called knowledge. And then the next verse says, Anyad evahu vidyaya nyad ahur avidyaya. And then there's these two couplets that come after that are very important. Iti shushruma dhiranam. Shushruma means thus. You must hear through your ears. Iti shushruma dhiranam. From whom? From anybody? No, the sober Vedic sage. You must hear through your ears from the sober Vedic sage, Dhiranam, Atishushruma Dhiranam, Yenastad Vichachakshare, and they will fully explain it. So this is the need for the spiritual master. So this verse says, the wise have explained, the self-realized soul, the Dhiranams, they have explained. Now listen carefully, that one result is obtained by the culture of nescience, but a different result is obtained from the culture of knowledge, of transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge. In other words, there's a popular philosophy that exists, especially in America, but maybe in other parts of the world is too. It's called the I'm okay, you're okay philosophy. Okay? We are cattle ranchers. We live in Nevada. We are raising our cattle. We have our association. We have our churches. We have our groups. We have our cattle ranching groups. We have our wives. We have our children. Okay, you guys are the Hare Krishna people. You have your group. We're not against your group. And you can't say anything against our group. Because I'm okay, and you're okay. We have our Los Angeles Men's Gay Chorus. And we have our association. We have our loving relationships with each other. We have our doctors. We have everything that you have, we have. And I'm okay, and you're okay. We don't mind the Hare Krishnas. Go ahead, do your thing, it's okay. But you can't speak up, you can't say anything against us because we're okay, we're happy, we're doing what we want to do, and you're doing what you want to do. Leave us alone, we'll leave you alone. But no, this verse says that there's one result that's obtained from the culture of Nessian activities, but there's a different result that's obtained from the culture of knowledge. Not everyone is going to the same place when it's all over. Despite the liberal, modern, democratic ideas. And Prabhupada, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, makes this perfectly clear. Now, that doesn't mean we go up, beat up on other people, but we have to speak the truth. And then the verse continues. It says, vidya cha vidya cha yas. Now this is very important. Vidya cha vidya cha yas. Tad vedobayam, vedobayam. One has to know both. Vidya cha vidya cha yas. Tad vedobayam saha avidyaya. When one knows both, what happens? Avidyaya mrityum tirtva. Avidyam rita, amrita, immortality. Huh? You want immortality? Avidyam ritam ashnuti. You enjoy immortality. This is the result of bhakti. And it's not the result of engaging in Nessian activities or accepting philosophies that are atheistic. There's a different result. So this verse says, very important verse, it says one has to learn. Therefore, one has to learn side by side. Very simple, the spiritual master, iti shushuma niranam yenas tad vichachakshare. You have to learn side by side. Just look at my hands here. It's like a scale. See a scale. Okay? Iti shushuma dira. The spiritual master has told us, it's like a scale. So one has to learn side by side. Okay, the process of the culture of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge. When one learns these two processes, then what happens? And he understands them completely by the grace and the instruction of the self-realized soul. What happens? He can transcend death and obtain the spiritual kingdom. So this is an important thing. The human form of life, Atatao Brahmagi, is meant to teach us how to transcend death. Any single process that human society engages in, any single philosophy that human society indulges in, that does not lead to this result, is a failure. So, therefore, one has to learn the process of the culture of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side. When one understands these, he surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation along with it. And in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge I'm getting a couple of verses mixed up, but it's the same idea. So this is the culture of nescience. This is the culture of transcendental knowledge. It's like a scale. And the spiritual master teaches this. It's very simple. This is the culture of nescience. Okay? The heavier and heavier and heavier you become with transcendental knowledge, then the lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter until it ceases to exist entirely, you'll be in ignorance and nescience. And the same thing happens. The heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier you engage in the culture of nescience and in atheistic philosophies, an atheistic way of thought, then the lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, and sense gratification, by the way, then in lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, your devotional service will become to its almost non-existent. Now, there's only one thing that never can happen. And to order understand this one thing that never can happen, those who are on the radio will cannot understand, but those who are here in the class, as you watch, look at my hands. This is the one thing that cannot happen. Are you ready? Okay, does everybody got it? It's a Zen koan, okay? Silence, okay? There's one thing that cannot happen. That does not happen according to our spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This cannot happen. So it's either one or it's the other. Take your pick. So then the verse goes on. Andam tama pravishyanti. Here we are having a verse that is forbidding us to take shelter of the creeper of fruitive activities. This is a very difficult point sometimes for people to understand or to accept. And that is that there's inferior and superior religious processes. We can kind of accept it, but it's a hard, never mind I'm okay, you're okay. But when you get into I'm okay, you're okay, but hey, you know, we all believe in God, you know, let it go, you know. Then there's people and if we say, well, there's superior and inferior religious process, even among those people who believe in the divine, who believe in God, who believe in Krishna, there's superior and inferior processes, then it gets really, really muddy and tricky. But here, Prabhupada is saying there's inferior and superior, Prabhupada's saying that in order to understand that there's inferior and superior religious processes, then one has to approach a spiritual master and take shelter of him. That's very difficult for people to accept. So this verse says, Andam tama pravishyanti ye sambhutam upasate tato bhuya ivate tamo ya sambhutam rataha. Those who engage in the culture of, those who worship the demigods, they must also eventually enter into the darkest region of ignorance. And worse still are those, or still more so are those who engage in the worship of the impersonal absolute. And again, the next verse says, Anyad evahu sambhavad jnadahur asambhavad iti shushruma dhiranam yenastad vichachakshare. The wise have explained that one result is obtained by worship. Anybody can help me here with the translation to this verse? Anyway, it's a similar verse. That there is one result from worshiping the supreme cause of all causes, Lord Krishna. But a different result is obtained by worshiping that which is not supreme. All this is heard from the from the sober authorities who clearly explain it. So these spiritual restoration that is awarded or given to the soul is different than depending on the different religious processes that one is performing. There's one result from worshiping Krishna. There's a different result from worshiping the demigods. There's one result that's from worshiping Krishna. There's a different result from worshiping the Supreme Brahman. No yatatat matapat. Is that it? Yatatat. Go ahead. Yanti deva vrata devan pritrin yanti pritri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhya jino pima. Those who worship the demigods, they go to the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors, they go to the ancestors. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits, they take birth among such beings. And those who worship me, they live with me. Okay, I'll leave that aside right now. So those who worship me will live with me. But then there's the famous saying by the famous Bengali Ramakrishna. He said, what? Go ahead, slowly. Yeah, yatamat tattapat. Okay, I got it right. Yatamat tattapat. As many paths there are as many ways, and they all lead to the same place. Prabhupada used to use a very simple example. You get on a train, you have a train, you got a ticket to Calcutta, you're traveling from Delhi to Calcutta, the train's not going to go to Bombay. It's very, very simple. He used to use these simple examples. So this is why it's important to approach and have a spiritual master. Tad vikyan artam sagarum eva bigachet. Samipani Shotriyam Brahma Nishtam. Tad Vigyan. Vigyan means realized knowledge. Notice the word is not Gyan, but Vigyan. Gyan is somebody tells you that a fire is hot. And he says, oh yeah, it's very hot. If you touch it, you'll burn yourself. Vigyan means you actually touch the fire. And then you have realization. So this verse says, tad vigyan, to get vigyan, to actually touch God. To actually have realization of God. Tad vigyan artam sagarum eva bhigachat. One must approach a guru. There is no choice. It's a Vedic principle that we cannot get around. Tad vidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te gyanam gyaninas tattvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Evam param para praptam. Evam param para praptam. Imam rajarshayo vidu sat. Kaleniha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. This yoga nashta, this supreme yoga, this supreme knowledge of how to transcend and get out of the material world and never take birth here again and never travel up and down, up and down, up and down in the material world. This supreme knowledge is thus received. How is it received? Through the chain of disciplic succession. You have to accept the guru in the disciplic succession. You just have to do it, whether you like to or not. So just try. This supreme science was thus received in the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings, they understood it that, in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and so the science as it is now, the science as it is, appears to be lost. So these are the injunctions of the Vedic Shastra, that one has to approach a guru and learn from him the process of devotional service, learn what will elevate us, learn what will bring us down, hear from him carefully, and then follow his divine instructions and serve him. And by this process, one can realize the absolute truth. Rahu ganaita tapasa nayati na chejaya nirvarpanad grihadvat na chitandas naiva jaladdi surya ervina mahapada rajo bishekan. Oh, my dear King Rahugana, says Jetabharat to King Rahugana, the supreme absolute truth cannot be realized by performing opulent deity worship. Nor can the supreme absolute truth be realized by living as a brahmachari and carefully studying the Vedas. Nor can the absolute truth be realized by entering the grihastha ashram. Nor, believe it or not, can the absolute truth be realized by nirvarpanam. Nirvarpanam means nirvana. Nirvarpanam, entering those ashrams that are meant for nirvana. Okay, nirvarpanad. Na chachandasya nirvarpana grihadva. So the ashrams that are meant for nirvana, meant for the cessation of materialistic activities. That's the grihastha. And the vanaprastha, the grihast, and the brahmacharya ashram. Notice that three-quarters of the ashrams, or three-quarters of the men in Vedic society, were supposed to be in a cultured, learned, progressive human society. Three-quarters of the men are supposed to be strictly practicing celibacy. And until that happens, we're not going to have a learned, cultured Vedic society. So nirvarpana, the ashrams that are meant for the cessation of materialistic activities. So you cannot realize the absolute truth even by just merely entering into these ashrams. Nor can you realize the absolute truth by surrounding yourself with fire under the noonday sun. Nor can you realize the absolute truth by keeping yourself in freezing cold water up to the neck during the height of winter. There are many, many other processes that are undertaking to realize the absolute truth. But the fact is, this is the fact, okay, according to Jetabharat, the fact is that one cannot realize the absolute truth unless one has the mercy of a great Vaishnava. Now notice here, the mercy of a great Vaishnava, singular. But then the verse goes on. Therefore, Jetabharat says to King Rahugana, unless one smears one's body with the dust of the feet, of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, plural, then one cannot realize the absolute truth. So this is, and one cannot realize the difference between a life full of karmakandiya, pious karmakandiya activities, and a life full of transcendent bhakti yoga that is meant for the cessation of our horrible, terrible transmigration, endless transmigration. This is the real suffering of the material world. The real suffering is that when you die, it does not end. Okay? That would be tolerable. At least for me. But the real suffering is when you die, it does not end. And you have to go on to the next body and do the whole thing again. And this goes on and on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. What time is it? Somebody please tell me the clock is broken there. Somebody speak up what time it is.
Quarter to nine.
Quarter to nine. Okay, so I can't go into this direction. So, so the point is this. Any religious process, any philosophy, any activity, any thought, any breath you take, machita madhitan prana, that does not lead to the cessation of your material existence in this material world. And we have been taught by Srila Prabhupada that the kind of activities that lead to the cessation of our material existence in this material world are the activities of bhakti yoga to Divine Lord, Lord Sri Krishna. Any activities that does not lead or is not going in that direction is a waste of time, guys. And that includes these pious activities of that are offered in the Vedas for elevation to higher planets. I'll end with these two verses. I don't have them memorized. I'll just chant the shlokas so that we can end and everybody can go on with their day. We'll maybe take one or two questions. So those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, they worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense gratification and pleasure, and the results of their pious activities are then exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Back down to square one. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principle of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. It's a dead end. Don't go there. And instead, go where the pure devotee directs you. Okay, we'll stop there. Anybody wants to say anything? Yes, Prabhu. I don't see. There it is right there. Yes, you can. Very rare. Very, very rare. How are you going to go up to higher planets when you got the Nandanandana gardens with Urvasi and the Apsaras? Good luck. You got soma juice. Demigods drink it. Maybe, I don't know how much the worshippers of the demigods drink it, but maybe they get remnants. Who knows? It's extremely enjoyable. Extremely. Extremely enjoyable. So the thing is according to the Vedic paradigm, we are in Kennedy Space Center right now. Okay? What planet do you want to go to? The demigods, they don't have that position. Generally speaking, it's we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's cursing up in the demigods, potent cursing, not just I'm going to curse you, and my potency doesn't have any curse, any power. Potent cursing. If you read about the life in the planets of the demigods, it's extremely attractive and extremely fraught with dangers. So as long as you have a human form of life, all the way down from the, by the way, just to let you know, there are 8,400,000 species of life. There's 400,000 species of human life. We are in the lowest of all the, we are the bottom of the barrel. Birth on the Earth planet, from a materialistic point of view, is the bottom of the barrel. We are just one step above the animals. But it's a giant leap for mankind. Yeah. That one step, the form of life that is perfect, perfectly made by God to get out of the material world, that form of life is the one we're sitting in right now. Believe it or not. It's not the demigods. They have difficulties. It's possible. But it's rare. Extremely rare. Human body. It's the rocket ship. The human body on the Earth planet is the rocket ship to get out of the material world. And if you misuse it, and if you miss this window of opportunity, it's now or never. It's now. You see devotees, they make this terrible mistake. Oh, I'll wait until my next birth. As, oh, I've done some devotion to Krishna, I'm guaranteed a human body. It says so right here in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I've done some devotion to Krishna. I'll get out. I'll wait till my next birth. I'll finish up in my next life. Good luck. We got everything right now at this moment. Seize the day. There will never be another time in our sojourn in the material world where we have been given such an opportunity. It's a one in a 20 billion zillion cadillion opportunity. And people just blow it away because they don't really study the Vedas. They don't understand how deeply we're enmeshed. They don't understand the possibilities. Okay, wait till your next life. You want a human form of life? One time I was down in Calcutta, and I came across a family in Calcutta. Okay, they were sitting on the street, and they were repairing shoes. You know, and there was the old man there. He was the grandfather. He was repairing the shoes. Next to him was the middle-aged man. He was repairing shoes. Next to him was his son. And beyond that were the 14-year-old, the 13-year-olds, and then there were babies after that. And then behind them was their encampment where they were living on the streets of Calcutta. And they were living in the encampment, and they were, and in the encampment were six or eight women who were all married to the men out front, and they all had babies to their breast. That's human life. That could be your birth. So strike while the iron is hot and get out now. Now, as far as going to the demigods planet, I know I got a little bit off on your question. They can, it's very rare. It's too much temptation. Too much temptation. Just like here on the Earth planet, when a devotee all of a sudden gets a lot of money, too much temptation. or when he gets a you know, some kind of sensual situation, too much temptation. In the demigod planets, it's constant. Okay? So it's possible, but it's rare. Okay, anybody else? Okay, Hare Krishna, thank you for tolerating me. Glories to Prabhupada.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you.